Gail can attest to this. There are some times it just comes to you quickly, and there's times you have to struggle and press through. We've had a very personal attack on our lives this week, me and Mally, and therefore it spun my message for this morning of what I think God wants me to talk about. But just want to share at the church. Y'all share with me all the time, right? I'm your pastor, and y'all talk to me, and I'm your counseling, and y'all cry on my shoulder and tell me all your problems. And so let me just take just a minute, not long, just a minute to share my problem with you. Is that okay this morning? I do that. We got a phone call Friday night, a phone call we didn't want to have. I've always said one phone call can change your life. We got a phone call where our son's best friend, Caitlin Prevett, 17 years old, took a gun and killed himself in the head Friday night. Jamie's on his way home now. We got him on a Greyhound bus to get him home for the funeral. He'll be here tomorrow about lunchtime. And the funeral was Tuesday afternoon. Caitlin struggled in life like a lot of young people do. He had a hard life. And people try to help him, but as you know, if you're a parent, there's times you just can't help your kids, and I already tried. And I think Caitlin felt hopeless and helpless and thought that it was better not to be here forever than to be here for even a short time. And so we want to pray for that family, of course. The mother is Sarah. He has two other siblings, I believe. Leaves behind a father and a stepfather. So be praying, of course, for this family, which is tragic. Can't imagine. Caitlin went to his mother's bedroom. Jamie just talked to Caitlin a few hours before. And the last thing Caitlin told Jamie on the phone about 11 o'clock that night was, "Jamie, I want you to promise me you'll never kill yourself. Don't ever kill yourself." And so we think this was planned by Caitlin, because he just felt there was too much out there against him. So I'm asking the church to pray for this family, and I'm asking the church to pray for my family, because I don't know how my son's going to respond to this when he gets here. I'm really concerned for him. Jamie has not found peace in his life either. He hasn't found joy. And I can't give him that. We've tried to give him that in our family. We've loved him. He knows we love him. We've supported him. We've raised him the best we knew how. Did we make mistakes? Sure we did. If I could have a do-over, you bet I'll do things different. But you have one shot as a parent to get it right. Only one. And I'm a little worried about my son's frame of mind as he gets here. As he sees the service, as he's there, they were so connected. Sarah sent me a message this morning. She's so glad Jamie's coming. She needs him right now. And I don't know what he's going to be like. And then we have to go back to Nebraska in a week. What's going to be like? So I'm just asking the church, please pray for him during the next few days. He'll be here about 12 o'clock tomorrow. We pick him up at Winston-Salem. And pray for the family of the Prevetts. This 17-year-old kid who just couldn't seem to ever find peace. The world is starving to find peace. Church, if we have peace, everything else just seems to work out, doesn't it? If we have peace. And my message this morning will be found in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus speaks of a verse that Isaiah prophesied about that, about peace. We are in a world, whether it's young people or whether it's older people. Even Mr. Williams, I told you, 75 years old, told me last week, and I went to see him at the house. He said, "Pastor, there's a difference in living and being alive." When people are in pain, there's no peace. Whether it's physical pain, spiritual pain, emotional pain, there's no peace. This has rocked our world hard today. And I will do my very best to get through this morning with a message for the body of what Jesus encourages us with. But I just want the church to know that me and Melanie and my two daughters are in great grief and hurting for our son today. For he has lost his best friend. And that's a loss that at that age is very hard. He lost another friend at 14 years old. He's lost two friends in his teenage years. That's tough. But Luke 4 tells us this. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had brought up, and his custom was that he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now this is Jesus speaking the words of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Let's stop there. Who is the poor he's talking about? Not the poor in money, not the poor in possessions, the poor in spirit. Those that are empty and void of any truth. Those that are bankrupt of any spiritual understanding. Those that are searching. The world is searching for truth. They're searching for to find their way of what makes them happy. And many mistakes are made along that journey, because many look in the wrong place to try to find that peace and that joy, that understanding. But Jesus came that our spirit would not be bankrupt, but our spirit would be full, full of life, full of hope, full of joy, and full of peace. And only Christ can do that. The world can't fill us. Church, we've been there. We know that. You can have the finest home and be miserable. The nicest cars and be miserable. You can have all the money in the bank account you need and still be miserable, because your spirit is poor. Doesn't matter how rich our outward is. If our inward is poor, we're bankrupt and we're nothing, because our soul hungers and longs for satisfaction, and only the hand of God can give that. Nothing else feels that. And Jesus came that we wouldn't be poor no more, but we would be filled with joy and with life that's worth living. See, people have an identity crisis. The reason we're seeing such a cultural shift in people's lives is because they have an identity crisis. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I fit. But if we have Jesus as our Lord, all is well. My soul is at rest because I know who I belong to. I know who my King is. I know who my Lord is. I know where I'm going when this life's over. I know what my future holds. See, a bankrupt spirit, they have no revelation of where they go after this. Either they don't believe in anything, or they believe in something other than the kingdom of God. But they don't have the assurance we have that our last breath on this earth as a believer in Christ is the beginning of an eternity spent with our Father that'll never pass away. My title this morning is See Jesus. Let's see Jesus. Let's not see our problem. Let's not see the impossible circumstance. Let's not see the hopelessness. Let's not see the helplessness. Let's not see the fear or the worry or the uncertainty. But let us see Jesus. For when we see Jesus, we find what we need. When we see Jesus, we find hope and we find strength and we find power when we see Jesus. When we see Jesus, we see the hands of a merciful God who says, I welcome all who will come into my arms. No matter where you've been or what you've done or what your past is, there is nothing you can do to out-sin the grace that I want to pour upon you. Do you hear that this morning? There is no darkness you've been in that the light of God doesn't shine and break through and say, yes, I want you. Doesn't matter you've cursed my name. So what? I'm still calling your name, and that's who I want in my life. He draws us by his spirit, draws us by his power, and he doesn't give up on us. See, when we see Jesus, we see a way out. A suicidal person sees no way out. All they see is the problem. All they see is the short-term fix they're in. But when we see Jesus, we see a hope that rescues us from the shackles of our pain and delivers us from that prison and takes us out of the miry pit and sets our feet again on solid rock and reminds us, you are chosen, you are mine, and I'm with you always. Many people believe that they've done too much for God to reach their spirit. They've done too many bad things. They've sinned too much. They went too much darkness. That is absolute garbage, and it's hogwash, and it's nonsense. My God, don't let any man or religious person tell you this, that you can't be saved because of what you've done or you're just too far gone. No, you're not. You know who was far gone? Paul was far gone. Paul was cursing. He was at the death of Stephen. He helped in the stoning of Stephen for the cause of the gospel. And he cursed and he had papers to go arrest all those who believed in Jesus. Paul was not a very good man. But one day on that road to Damascus, the grace of God, the poor in spirit, was reached by the richness of God's mercy. Do you hear me? It was reached by his mercy and by his grace. I mean, if God would save a man like Paul, my God, he'll save any of us. Paul was a complete, us religious folks would call Paul a blasphemer. You blasphemed against God. But God saved him. God called him by name. And when that light shined, Paul immediately said, Lord, what would you have me do? You know, all God requires is not a bunch of hoops we jump through, a bunch of religious things we go through, a bunch of stuff that nobody understands. All Christ requires of us is we believe. Church, we just believe that he is, that he was, and that he always will be. We just believe that on the cross he took my place. We just believe the third day he rose again. We just believe that he's forever alive, reigning King of Kings, and that we one day will have that same immortality with him. Just believe. Just believe. People need something to believe in. And when things like this happen, it makes us recheck and evaluate life. God, why? Why me? Why my child? Why my family? Why me? It makes us reevaluate everything. But as Rodney said, God's strength and presence is always there to get us through. I'm thankful I serve a God who is not dead, but who is very much alive. I'm thankful I serve a God that is not some distant mythical figure that I hope is there, but I serve a God that when I call his name, he whispers back, yes, I am here, James. Yes, your heavenly Father is here right now. He feels your pain. He feels your burden. He understands your problem, and he wants to feel your spirit. If you are poor this morning in your spirit, God can feel you. You can leave here the richest man in the county, because Christ has filled you. He says he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal. Go back, Brandon. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. Only God can heal a broken heart. We've been there. We can try to drink our troubles away or smoke our troubles away or whatever we want to do. But we find out the trouble is still there and the brokenness still remains. Only Christ can feel that brokenness. Only Jesus can take you and put you back together the right way. I used to have a Mr. Potato Head. Anybody ever have a Mr. Potato Head? Some of you young people are like, what is a potato head? It was a real toy. You know what that is, Potato Head? You do. I had a Mr. Potato Head. He had little stick arms, little stick legs, little eyes and eyebrows and ears and feet and hands. And you could stick all the little pieces fit in every hole the same. So you could have hands up here, feet up here, hands down here, can make all kinds of faces. Without Christ, we're the messed up potato head. We're the ones that look like this. That's us without Christ. But with Christ, you look like this. Good, ain't it, Gail? All put together. Because when we try to fix ourselves, we put everything in the wrong place and we're messed up. But we let Jesus fix us. We let Jesus come in and bring healing to a place Here's the deal. It's a place only He can reach. It's a place only Jesus can reach. Nothing else. There's places in our lives, in our hearts, our souls, our minds. There's those depths and rims of places in us that only Jesus can reach. Nothing else can get there. Because it's so deep and it's such a longing that only He can feel. And if you're broken this morning, in whatever way, you're broken. Jesus can bring healing. He can fix you. He can transform you. He can change and bring healing to where so much hurt is. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty to the captives. How many of you in here feel chained and bound by things in your lives? You feel chained to them. You know what happens in life? It's little by little, we give ourselves away to the devil. Little by little, we allow this into our lives, not a big deal. We allow that to our lives, not a big deal. We allow this into our lives. And then we look down one day, and if we could visually put in a visual sense, we're shackled. How did I get shackled? How did I get chained? How did I become a drug addict? I'm not a drug addict. This isn't who I am. How did I get here? This isn't me. How did I become an alcoholic? How did I become so cold and insensitive? How did this happen in my life? Little by little, we allow the enemy to wave the carrot and we take a bite. And then we take another bite and another bite. And that poison of darkness and that poison of sin, that poison of hopelessness begins to circulate through our veins to a point that we've lost ourselves. Church, have you ever felt like you've lost yourself? Who am I? I know Melanie made the comment before, said, where's the old Melanie? Sometimes I feel like I lost the old Melanie. It's a good way of putting that. It's a very common, basic way of saying that. I've lost the old Margot. Where's the old Carrie? Where's the old Linda? What happened to me? Life comes along, and if we're not careful, life can rob us of the things God's done given us. So what do? We hang on to them. Say, no, devil. You're not stealing away from me what God gave me. You're not robbing me of the joy that only comes from God or the peace that only God can give. You're not robbing me from all the glory that I have felt, because what used to make me shout in the Lord can still make me shout today. When I used to make my feet dance in His presence, I can still dance right now. When I used to lift my hands and say, God, You are good, guess what? God is still good in 2016. God is still on the throne, and He's not changed. So hardships come, and all of a sudden we find ourselves captive to that. Captive. Captive to things that we didn't intend to be captive to. But the good news is this, that Jesus came and is here now to set the captive free. For Jesus has every key needed to unlock every chain upon your life this morning and set you free. Whatever that is, whether it's salvation for your soul or healing for your body or peace for your mind, whatever that is, Jesus has the key to bring into your life what you need, set you free. It's no fun being captive. It's no fun being bound. We're in such a crisis, I think, in the world of emotional destitution. Drug use is an all-time high in America, all-time high right now. You know why? People are emotionally destitute. They're lost inside and trying to find anything or everything that makes the pain go away. But if we'll look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, if we'll look to Jesus, oh my God, we find that what we have been longing for, He has. What we've been searching for, He has. And I'm not talking about going through religious church motion, because that don't do you no good on Wednesday at 4 in the afternoon when all hell's broke loose. What we need is an authentic experience of the presence of God living inside of us. Knowing, God, You are enough. Because you know what? The church is not enough. The pastor is not enough. The choir is not enough. The deacons are not enough. Sundays and Wednesdays aren't enough. But Jesus is enough and all that we need. And when our eyes are on Him, we find the rest for our souls. The little woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, who Jesus went to be with and said, go get your husband. I have no husband. Said, you spoke right. You've had five. And now you're with one that's not your husband. This woman had been through relationship after relationship after relationship and was living with a man out of wedlock then and didn't have any peace. And Jesus offered her something. He didn't say, you old heathen, bad Jezebel, you old harlot, you old shacked in sinner. You know what He told her? I got something to give you today. Do you want it? What is it? I want water. Sure, I want water. That's why we're at the well. Not that kind of water. I've got something that'll help you in here. I've got something that'll fill you in here, because you're not finding it in all your relationships. You've not found it there, have you? What He really was saying. You've not found it there. But what I give you, you won't thirst again. Yes, Master, give it to me. Jesus extended His grace to her and to her whole family. And that visit to the well turned into a transformational moment for her life, because she left filled. Her spirit was no longer poor. Her chains were broken, and her brokenness was healed because she saw Jesus. When we see Jesus, what do we see, church? Here's part of the problem. Do we see a vengeful, wrathful, angry God judging us for everything we do wrong? Or do we see a God of mercy and a God of love and a God of hope and a God of compassion and a God that made our inward works? He said that He formed us in our mother's womb. He knows all of our inward workings and our parts. He knows our thoughts before we think them and our words before we even speak them. God already knows that. So no use to be and pretend with God. Don't pretend with God. He already knows how you really feel. So be honest with God. Be real with God. God, you know, it's okay to ask God questions. You realize that? It's okay to ask God questions. God, are You there? Are You real? Are You alive? Then God, I need that. Show Yourself to me, Lord. Pour Yourself into me, because I need answers. We're in a world that needs answers. Chaos in our political world right now. Chaos going on all over the world. Chaos. Anger, frustration, bitterness, people fighting against this people. We've got all these civil wars going on within our country. Little mini civil wars happening. These people hate these people. These people hate these people. But if we see Jesus, we see He loves us and He wants to be for us. He is for us. But we got to recognize that. Will I allow Him to come into my life and help me? Or am I going to keep doing it my way, going my direction, and staying lost? So many are kicking against the very thing they need, Jesus. And we're fighting demonic warfare like never before. The Bible says we would, and we are. We are fighting principalities and power, spiritual wickedness in those high places. All around us, in this room even, there's a spiritual realm that we can't see. There's angels. I believe in angels, not with wings and harps, but I believe there are spiritual beings that God created that are angels, messengers, and ministers into our lives. And just the same, I believe there's a demonic realm where there is dark spirits, spirits of the prince of this world that are roaming to and fro, trying to devour our kids, our generation, our homes, our families, robbing us of our minds, our joy, our peace. And it is time we realize if we are in Christ Jesus, we are saved, we are sealed till the day of redemption, and we are secure in His hands. Jesus says, no man can take you, can pluck you out of my hand. He also said this, and I love this. For those of you that question, am I really His or not? Jesus said this, I will in no wise cast out any who come to me, for I lose none of them. Think about that. I lose none of them. In other words, when God saved me, buddy, I'm His, whether He likes it or not. He stuck with me. God stuck with this guy. Thank God He sticks with me. Thank God He sticks with me through my ups, through my downs, through my sin, through my good deeds, you want to call it that, whatever. He sticks with me. And I'm thankful for that. And no matter what we face in this world, if our spirit is not poor, if our spirit is rich in Him, we can face anything, knowing that the afflictions of this world do not compare to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And church, there's a glory to be revealed in God's people. And this world is temporary, and all the things are passing away. But the one thing that will not pass away is our relationship with the Lord. It goes on and on and on and on forever. He came to give sight to the blind. Now, He's not talking about, which He did, of course, open up physical eyes, but that's not what He's talking about here. He's talking about those that can't see truth. Those that are walking in darkness. That are walking around trying to find, is this Jesus thing really real? Because I've heard it my whole life, and my parents taught me about it, but yeah, they went through a divorce, and my dad cheated on my mom, and my mom did this, and well, they do drugs, and he's an alcoholic, but yet they talk about this Jesus and going to church, and is He real? And their lives ain't no different, and they cuss, and they do this, and is there really Jesus? Is Jesus, you know, just a made-up story to control me or control the world? Is it a political agenda? Is it a movement? What is it? But when you see Jesus for yourself, there is nobody can talk you out. Yes, He's real, and He lives inside of me. I've had many personal encounters with the presence of God. And it's not just feel. You know, they actually did some studies. I mean, people will do anything. And I understand that there has been fabricated worship. I get it. Fabricated shouting. I get it. Fabricated spiritualism. I understand that. But they did a study one time on churches that worship and that speak in other tongues and, you know, shout or fall in the spirit and do some of those things that, you know, a lot of people don't. They did a study on that and said that it was psychosomatic experience. Because, you know, well, the music's going, the organ's going, the drums are beating, you know. Look, I understand that we are moved by emotion. I get that. And you know what? That's okay. I'm moved by emotion this morning in a way of grief. Why can I be moved by emotion in a way of joy? But that's not my point. My point is this. There have been times where I've been in this sanctuary. There's no Margie playing the keyboard. There's none of your faces here. There's no atmosphere of Sunday service going on whatsoever. It's me by myself on a Tuesday morning or whatever, and I'm in this sanctuary. There have been times I've had no music playing. It was still. It was quiet as a Lutheran church. And I felt God's presence usher in this room, and I will begin to weep and cry. That's not Margie? That's not psychosomatic. That's the presence of God. There's no drum beat. Boom, 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 boom. That ain't going on. I'm not some trance. I'm in here talking to God and begin to weep. Church, I felt God on me sometimes praying that I almost fell out myself, but nobody was there to catch me, so I stopped myself. I mean, I've been over here, and I felt myself like sway, because just me, just standing here, I would feel myself, the power of God be so strong. That's not psychosomatic. That's the realness of my God. So when you see Jesus for yourself, you'll never doubt it. But you've got to see him for yourself. You can't go on mom and dad's coattails or grandma's coattails. I get that. See, I'm not a Christian because my mom and dad were Christians, even though they were. I didn't get saved because they got saved. I got saved because I was in a camp meeting one year in 1980, and the preacher had an altar call, and I heard God's voice call my name, and God got in my heart. My heart started racing, started beating so fast, it's like, you know, a medical issue. I mean, it was just going. And I knew God was calling me. And I stepped up to that altar and prayed and received and believed what the preacher said. It changed my life forever. I saw Jesus for myself. I saw him. When we see Jesus, we'll be changed. You're never the same. And he came to set those at liberty who are oppressed. More people than ever are taking medication for depression. Whether it's postpartum, whether it's they went through a surgery, whether they midlife crisis, whether it's they went through divorce, whatever the situation that spun it. I'll take some medicine because it helps me feel better. Oppression is a real thing. You know what oppression does? It gets into your life and it sucks everything good out of it. You don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to face the day. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to get up and do anything. You want to lay in bed. There is no quality of life when you're oppressed. And we start hearing those voices of the enemy telling us why we're oppressed, why we should stay oppressed. Because he brings back into our mind all the junk we're going through and all the stuff that's happened and maybe what the future yet holds. And we let that keep us bound. Oppression is of the devil. It is not of God. God came to set us free from oppression. See Jesus, you'll see joy. See Jesus, the shackles will begin to fall. See Jesus, and there's hope all of a sudden. Hope you didn't have before. I want to tell you this too. I want to encourage everyone here. I just feel led to say this right now. It's not a sin to question God. It's not a sin to question, is he real? It's not a sin. Don't feel guilty for saying, I just don't really know if he's real, preacher. I hear you talking, but what's he done for me lately? That's not a sin. See, if you're thinking those things, you know what's happening? God is moving in your life. God is creating awareness and curiosity for a reason. Because he's trying to bring you to a place of realization that, yes, I'm real. Well, I can't see God. Oh, we see God every day, church. We see God. When you see your child, you see the hand of God. When you see that sun rise and set, you see the hand of God. And those stars, the hand of God. And the seas, the mountains, the hand of God. The birds and the trees, the hand of God. We see the hand of God in everything. We can't look around and not see God. It's amazing what we believe in that we can't see when it comes to God, because we can't see him, we don't believe. We don't see air, right? We don't see air, but we believe there's air because we're breathing right now. We're alive because of air. We can't see air, but we know that we know it's real. You know, we can't see that there's nothing on the bottom of this earth holding us up. We can't really see that. Not really. I mean, we can see images and pictures, but is that real? Have you been there to the bottom of the earth to see, oh yeah, nothing down there? But we believe we're suspended in the middle of the air by gravity. We believe in gravity. We can't see gravity. Not really. But we believe in it. Because guess what? If gravity was gone, we'd be rising again. We'd be like them astronauts. Gravity holds things in place. Believe in Jesus. See Jesus, who he is and what he wants to do. He wants to bring healing to our lives. Go to the next scripture. He came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord He came to proclaim the kingdom. Next verse. Then he, I love this verse, or this next two verses. He closed the book. Now imagine this, church. He's talking to Jewish people who are waiting on the Messiah to come. Here's Jesus, son of Joseph. Normal guy to them. Born of a virgin, all man, all God. Remember, Jesus was not some spiritual vapor. He wasn't some angelic being. He was a man that was born of woman, that walked the earth, who had physical hands, physical hair, physical body. So he comes before these Jews. He reads this passage. He closed the book. He sat down. And all the eyes of him... Did you skip a verse? Okay. All the eyes of him were fixed on him. Next verse. And he began to say to them, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Think how powerful Jesus was saying 600 years ago. This verse was prophesied and written, and y'all read it all these years. But today, I am the one he's talking about. It's me, Jesus, the son of Joseph and the son of God. It's me that I'm talking about that is fulfilled in your ears. I'm the one that's going to set you free. I'm the one that's going to heal your brokenness. I'm the one that's going to establish my kingdom. I'm the one that came that will do what Isaiah said I would do. I am he. Hallelujah. That's powerful. Can you imagine what their thoughts must have been? Think of you if I said that, church. I come up here one Sunday morning. I am he that's fulfilled the scripture. But he was. And he endured the cross. The Bible says he endured the suffering of the cross for the joy that was set before him. You know what the joy Jesus saw? Us, his children, his people. He saw us. Would most of us not give our lives for our children? God gave his life for us because he saw his people being redeemed from what the law could never do. The law was never instituted to save anyone. The law was to always lead those that they need to be saved because all of us fall short of it. And so we say, okay, God, I can't keep the Ten Commandments. What do? You look at me. Believe in me. I fulfilled the law for you because you couldn't do it. So I did it for you. See Jesus. That's my last verse, right? See Jesus. And you'll find hope. See Jesus. And you'll find peace. I don't know, church, what is in store for us this week for my family. I don't know. We've not seen our son in 9 months. We don't expect to see him much this week. Just how it is. And that's okay. But I know that Jesus is there. And I know he's going to strengthen my family and get me and my wife and my two daughters and him through this week. He's going to get us through the strength that we need to face what this week's going to bring. I will be lost and hopeless without Jesus. See, if Caitlin could have only saw Jesus, if you could have just looked and there's hope in you, Lord. There's hope in you. What a generation of hopelessness that many are suffering. Of no joy for tomorrow and no peace for today. We can have that peace and that joy in Jesus. No matter what we're facing, none of us are facing what Sarah is facing this morning. And only God, and Sarah is a Christian and belongs to a church and is a woman of faith. And I'm so thankful for that, as she has that strength in her life. Where would you be without faith? Church, people are starving for faith in something. You know why we have idol worship? Why we have our heroes? Our Michael, I'm telling my age here. Our Michael Jordans, our Larry Birds, our Dale Earnhardts, you know, our Pete Rose or whoever. The people that we have idolized, our rap stars, our rock stars, you know, our country singers that the tight jeans and cowboy had that makes us sway because we want to believe in something. And you know what? For a moment, Michael Jordan can take your mind off life for 2 hours when he was playing. For a 2 or 3 hour concert, all of a sudden your problem's temporarily on the shelf and you're all into that. But then the problem still is there when the show's over and the lights are off. But here's the good news. With Jesus, he's like Motel 6. The light's always on. He don't shut the lights off. He's always there. And in our darkest moments of life, I believe his light shines the greatest. And we can find that light. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to pray for the church, pray for each of you. You battling this morning, you have issues in your life. You have strongholds. You have oppression. You're a slave to whatever's enslaved you and you feel trapped. You need deliverance. You need hope. You need joy again. I want to pray this morning over the congregation. Lord, we stand before a holy God who has never wronged. We stand before a perfect Lamb of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, you already have the answer before we even have the question. You already know the end result before we even know the result at all. You already know it. For the hearts in this place today that are heavy, that are burdened, that are broken, that need peace, that need strength, that need hope, that need help, God, pour your Spirit upon our lives right now, that we are covered by a peace and a glory that only you can give, that we have hope again, joy again, peace again, strength again, that we walk out of here knowing we are not leaving this sanctuary alone, but we are armed with the heavenly host of God's army, and we are armed with your Holy Spirit. We are armed with all you are living inside of us. Give us the peace and the breakthrough that we need in the name of Jesus. Margie, sing a little something. I'm going to have her sing a song. If you want to come pray for a minute during the song, please do that. Just talk to God for a minute before we close. withdrawing in any way, church, this is your time to pray and talk to God. Don't let the devil stop you from that. If God is drawing you, there's a reason he's drawing you. Don't be afraid of that. Embrace that draw. Embrace it. And just come talk to him. Let him do something in your life that needs to be done, whatever that is. This is a safe place, church. I want you to understand that. Nobody's judging you for being at the altar. Nobody's judging you of, you know, man, what are they going up there for? What's going on? This is you and God right now. And come talk to him right now. This is a very special moment, and God's presence is here to bring a quiet. What I'm feeling right now is a quiet peace, if that makes any sense. It don't even sound right because it's the same thing. But I keep hearing that. I want to give you a quiet peace. A quiet peace. Come get that this morning. Come get that, and don't leave here without that this morning.
Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
If you would, just take the person beside you. Lord, we want to pray for peace for the hand we're holding right now. Peace. Let peace usher in to the hand we are holding, God, and pour yourself into their lives. Pour your living, alive spirit into them, that, Father, they find peace in you. Only in you, not the world, but God, they find peace in you this morning. That when they leave this place, they know they have been in your presence. Bring peace to the brokenhearted and to the mind that is rattled, to the heart that is heavy. Right now, as we are family here this morning, God, we are family. And we bind the enemy from every attack upon our lives, our hearts, our minds. And we invoke and we proclaim by the authority of Jesus Christ that peace stiller be poured upon our lives as he calms us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.